I seem to be up here quite often. I don't know if it feels that way or not, but... We are at the end of Psalm 23, and it's been a privilege to be able to study through it over the past months. Let's take out our Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. There's Bibles in the bottom of the chairs if you're looking for one. Psalm 23, it's on page 458. Page 458. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you ever think of that word forever? I've often thought, wow, what an amazing word, forever. And to be honest, I can't even think that. I mean, I can't even go that far. I can't even think like that. Forever, forever. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can we maybe turn these fans on up here, Russ? It's feeling a little bit
stuffy here.
The psalm opened up, Psalm 23, with a proud and joyous statement, the Lord. And I remember when we started off Psalm 23, verse 1, I spent a whole sermon on just the Lord. And I sometimes think we sometimes forget exactly who is the Lord? What is the Lord? What does the Lord have to do with me? What does the Lord have to do with my relationship with Jesus Christ? And so many times, there is so much information of the Lord. And we forget, man, that is a powerful, powerful statement, the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator God, the most powerful God on this earth, all powerful. He made heaven and earth. He is the ultimate King of kings and Lord of lords. He is our Savior. He died for us. The Lord God Almighty. And when you just think of those two words, the Lord, that alone should just do explosions inside of us. It's like, wow, to think. The Lord is my shepherd. When you begin to dwell on that alone, the Lord is my shepherd. Wow. The Lord, the King of Kings, He is my shepherd. And then how it closes, the last verse, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, you could just stop right there and forget the insides of that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's done. It's complete. It's all done. How wonderful. How wonderful. But I'm so glad that the psalmist put all that other information in between verses 2 and 5. We've gone through a long journey. We've gone through a very long journey going through this psalm. And here you have a picture of a sheep, utterly, totally satisfied with its lot in life. So fully contented with care it receives. The sheep feels so much at home. At home with the shepherd. And you know what? The sheep don't have any other desire to move away from that. The sheep are so happy with being with their shepherd that they are not looking for another place to go and hang out. They enjoy their flock so much together that they don't want to go anywhere else. They feel 100% at home. That's the sheep's aspect to it. The shepherd, he has given much, much devotion and affection to his flock. He would never think of parting his flock. He wouldn't think of it. He's fallen in love with his sheep because they are healthy, because they are contented, because they're productive. And they bring delight and they bring profit to the shepherd. Sometimes it's hard to know exactly what the meaning of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever means here. What David was coming, what he was thinking here. So many times we think of the house of the Lord and we think of this place right here. We've come to the house of the Lord to worship. Some people will call this a sanctuary. It's a meeting place. The house of God. So what was David thinking when he said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever"? And yet you have to think and dig deeper and find out, okay, what is a shepherd talking about? What is the thing that he has just gone through in his life, leading this sheep? And the only thing that I could really come up with over here is that the psalmist was writing on the standpoint of his sheep, reflecting and recounting the full round of the year's activities. What has taken place over the past year? Remember, we start there on the ranch, where the meadows are, where the green pastures are, and there he is, giving his sheep the best attention that he can right there on the ranch. And then after he's taken them through these green pastures and still waters, all of a sudden he starts heading up the mountainsides into the valleys. And even though those valleys are deep and they're dangerous, he's taken the sheep through this course up these mountain passes. And then before you know it, it's summertime and you're up on these tablelands, these mesas, what you call them. And they're up there for the summer months. And you know, we have all the predators and the diseases and different things that go on up there on those plateaus. And the shepherd is always there watching over them. And then fall starts to come. And all of a sudden you have those storms and you have those sleet. The sleet coming and possibly snow. And this drives the sheep and the shepherd back down to the foothills. And then back home again. To the ranch where it's nice and it's quiet, and winter sets in again, and there's that safe security over there. They're in their barns and there's a safe surrounding there. It's that homecoming. I know whenever I'm down south there, Todd, I'm not sure if you have that there in Kentucky too, but it seems like all the churches over there have what you call homecoming. And it's just a normal thing every fall or every summer where they have homecoming and they invite everybody and their mother to come for this homecoming, to come and get together again. And this is where your roots were. This is where you were founded. This is where your church started. And they invite people. And people actually come for miles and miles for this homecoming. And I sometimes think of these sheep in the same situation. It's like the homecoming again, where they've gone through these incredible, incredible trials and tribulations, going through all those valleys and putting up with all the parasites and what have you. That sense of coming home. What a great place. Every time I'm on my way back home here, it sure feels good to open that door and walk inside. Ah, home again. Jiggity jig. Boy, it feels good, doesn't it? To be home. I love it. Homecoming. The return back to the fields, the corrals, the barns, the shelters, the shepherd's home. During all the seasons of the year, with the hazards, the dangers, the disturbances, it is the shepherd's alertness and care and energetic management that has brought his sheep through satisfactory. They've come home and they've made it. The house over here, as we refer to the house of the Lord, it talks about a family. The house of the Lord is a family. It is a household. It can be a flock. It can be a flock. Of who? Of the Good Shepherd. The sheep is so satisfied with the flock to which it belongs, with the ownership of this particular shepherd, it has no other desire to change whatsoever. It is content. The sheep is content. It doesn't want to go look for another flock. It is totally content. And that's where I feel I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever is made. It's because of that whole atmosphere of what the shepherd has done. He has made such a comfortable, protective surrounding for his sheep that they have no desire to go anywhere else. And you can just see the sheep as they come home again, standing by this fence and bragging to their neighbor sheep and saying, "You can't believe the year that we just had. You'll never believe it. Our shepherd is so good. He's looked after us so incredibly." And they boast to their neighbors on the other side of the fence because they're so content. And I was just thinking today, what if we would brag about our good shepherd? If we would just literally brag about our good shepherd. That we could be so proud to belong to Christ. So proud. Do we feel free to boast to others of how good our good shepherd is? How glad we should be to look back and recall all the amazing ways in which he's provided for our welfare. Do we look back like the sheep as they've gone through it all? An incredible year through hardship and suffering, but looking back and just boasting, it's like, wow, to feel good again, to feel, yes, I'm home. I've gone through a whole year of struggles, hard times, but in the end, here I am, home again. The Lord took me through, He carried me. Can we talk about our hard times, our hardships? Our disappointing times. Can we share them with other people and say, man, God took me through this? Are we eager and quick to tell our confidence of Christ to others. We should be bold to state fearlessly that we are glad to be His. I often think, of how some martyrs have gone down with a gun at their head saying, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" Knowing that if they say yes, they're gone. Bold, fearless. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. It doesn't matter because Christ is number one. He is number one in my life. And there's no other options. There's nothing else. It's God plus nothing. God plus nothing. A shepherd tells a story of an owner and his sheep that were right next door to his farm. And he goes on saying that as he watched his neighbor's sheep through the hard times of their lives, going through sicknesses, going through the cold, being filled with parasites and having that scab. And he remembers as he would watch his neighbor's sheep look into his fields that were so lush and so green, and they would just stand there and they would be weak and their feet and legs could hardly hold them up. And he remembers the story or seeing these sheep during the winter months in December where they particularly lived. During the low tide in November and December, the tide can go way out. And he said that he had this fence that went way out into the sea. But during the December low tide, the water would proceed the fence and those sheep would just know it. And they would walk along the sea where it was just sandy, and they would walk to the end of that fence and they would turn around and come back to green pastures. And he told a very, very interesting story as these sheep knew this every year that tide would be gone and they could go around to that good field. And so it happened again one time where the sheep made that run and they went over and they just started eating and eating and eating all this fresh grass. And in no time, the shepherd found them lying on their backs, almost dying. Because their systems were not used to all that fresh grass. And their stomach started bloating up. And they started having problems because of it. Had that shepherd have known that, he would have never have given them that fresh grass. It would have been something that he would have done very gradually. Of giving them grass and giving them feed to get them used to the good stuff. But as he goes on with this story, here we found these sheep, three sheep, these ewes, lying in this field, dying. They couldn't move. And so he gets his wheelbarrow, and he puts these three sheep in his wheelbarrow, and he carts them off to his neighbor. A useless sheep herder he was. He didn't care less about his sheep whatsoever. And those sheep have been suffering and suffering since the day they were born because he watched them grow up. During the summer months, they never had enough food to eat. And during the winter months, the cold and the hunger pretty well killed them. And so these sheep had actually no future whatsoever. Yet they always had their eyes across the fence and looking into green pastures and wishing they could have been there. And so as he takes these three sheep in this wheelbarrow to the rightful owner, the owner just says, he takes out a knife and slices all three of their throats. Stupid sheep. Stupid sheep. And you know what? I thought of this after reading this. Isn't it just like Satan? How he holds ownership of so many people. And he really couldn't care less about either one of them. Millions and millions of people where Satan has ownership. And all he desires to do is slice our throats or those that don't know Christ. Something that comes to mind as we think of this story is there's only one door to Christ. There's only one door. And these poor sheep, they found the wrong door to go over to that other field. They found the wrong door. They went the wrong way. And so many people today are trying to find different doors to get to Christ. And they're not making it. They're not making it. Yeah, Satan has a grasp of many, many people. And he is controlling this world incredibly. And Satan's ranch is a wretched ranch. There is no good, nothing good in it whatsoever. He is a heartless owner. And he cares nothing about the souls of people. And millions of people are hungry and thirsty, but they don't know which way to turn. They don't know which way to turn. And there's only one sheepfold to get into heaven. Jesus boldly declared in John 10, verse 9, it says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find what? Find pasture." He will find pasture. And we rub shoulders with people every day. Every day we rub shoulders with people living on the other side of the fence. And I have to ask myself, what is my impact with them? Can people see Christ in me? Can they see Christ in me? Are people envious of my life? Like those sheep looking across the fence, envious of a better life. Do they see in me the benefits of being under Christ's control? And I must say sometimes, no. Because sometimes the flesh gets the best of us. Do they see something of himself reflected in my conduct and character? Does my life and conversation lead them to him and then into life everlasting? I mean, these are questions that we need to ask ourselves. It's like, yeah, where am I at? Not only do I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and have my comfort zone here and enjoy this fellowship that we can enjoy here as a body of believers right now, but we want other people to join our flock, join our family, the family of God. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And as we've gone through this series of Psalm 23 and just seen the shepherd meeting all of our needs, it's always enough. It's always enough. I look forward to that day to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm looking forward to that day. But man, let's do everything that we can to bring more people into the fold, because that's what it's really all about. It's what it's all about. I received something this week in email. I just want to read it. Recently, I overheard a father and daughter in their last moments together at the airport, and they had announced the departure. Standing near the security gate, they hugged, and the father said, "I love you, and I wish you enough." The daughter replied, "Dad, your life together has been more than enough. Your life is all I ever needed. I wish you enough too, Dad." They kissed, and the daughter left. And the father walked over to the window where I was seated. And standing there, I could see he wanted and needed to cry. I tried not to intrude on his privacy, but he welcomed me by asking, "Did you ever say goodbye to someone knowing it would be forever?" "Yes, I have," I replied. "Forgive me for asking, but why is this a forever goodbye?" "I am old, and she lives so far away. I have challenges already, and the reality is the next trip back will be for my funeral," he said. "When you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, 'I wish you enough.' May I ask what that means?" He began to smile. "That's a wish that has been handed down from many other generations. My parents used to say it to everyone." He paused a moment and looked up as if trying to remember it in detail, and he smiled even more when he said, "I wish you enough. We were wanting the other person to have a life filled with just enough good things to sustain them." Then turning toward me, he shared the following as if he were reciting it from memory. "I wish you enough, son, to keep your attitude bright no matter how gray the day may appear. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun even more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive and everlasting. I wish you enough pain so that even the smallest of joys in life may appear bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish you enough hellos to get you through the final goodbye." And as I read that this week, thinking about this whole Psalm 23, and again, as I just realized, you know what? Our good shepherd is enough. He is enough to take us through every dark moment of our life. He is enough to carry us through every burden. He is enough to carry us through the good times and the hard times, the bad times, the good times. He is enough. But I think so many times we try to add things when we already have everything, when we have enough. And I trust that as we go to the Lord's table this morning, that we will reflect on Him, our Good Shepherd, that He is the absolute, everything that we need.